As a rabbi, people often feel comfortable telling me things they might not share with others. However, at other times, people are more reticent to share certain things with me, fearing that I might disapprove or judge. One of those topics is God. Over the years working in the rabbinate, I've had several congregants, students, friends, and even relatives confide in me that they don't believe in God. Often they share this information in a slightly hushed tone with a guilty look, fearing that I'm going to be disapproving or label them a heretic. Rather, I ask a simple question. Tell me the God you don't believe in. More often than not, the description of God that they share is one that closely resembles either Zeus or Santa Claus. For most people, God is an old white guy with a long beard, sitting on a throne, judging our actions and deciding our fate. And then I share with them that I don't believe in that God either. The sigh of relief, sometimes a bit of shock, is palpable. And I'm actually not alone. In the most recent Pew survey, over 80% of Reformed Jews don't believe in the God of the Bible. But that doesn't mean they don't believe in God. Over 60% of Jews do believe in a higher power or a spiritual force, but not the one that they refer to as the God of the Bible. But the truth is, the Bible has many descriptions of God. But when the Pew survey asked about the God of the Bible, everybody knew who they were talking about, the old white guy that judges us. And this is part of our problem. So who is the God of the Bible, and where does that description come from? The God of the Bible is the God that sits on high. As to where it comes from, this is the personification of God that is the most prevalent in our Bible, especially in this week's Torah portion. We are told that if we do as we're commanded, we'll have a life of comfort. Our enemies will be vanquished, our harvest will be plentiful, and our children many. But if we fail to follow God's rule, we will be the vanquished ones, the skies will cease to produce rain for our crops, and our women will be barren. While this can seem harsh, for our ancestors, it could also be comforting. The implication of this God is that we are in control of our own fate. If we are a good person, we work hard, we play by the rules, then we will have a life of general, if not explicit, comfort. And when things aren't going our way, all we need to do is change our behavior, and all will be right again. Now, if only the world did work that way, maybe more of us would be okay with it. But unfortunately, we know that that's not the reality we live in. We've seen too many people suffer, and too many evil people seem to thrive. Sure, we can say they'll get their just reward in heaven, or that we never know the inner workings of someone's heart, but often that's just a way to try and explain a theology that we are uncomfortable with. So how did this notion of God become the prevalent one? Well, for a time, this notion of God may have actually saved the Jewish people. In traditional Near East polytheistic society, when one community lost a battle to another, the losing community assumed that the winning God was stronger than their God, and they started praying to the victor's God. How many of you want to be on a second place team? Strangely, when the Israelites lost a battle, they didn't move over to the other God. They said, no. Our God is simply punishing us, teaching us a lesson, and punishing us because we did something wrong. But in this way, the Israelites actually retained control over their destiny. Rather than being at the whim of an army that was stronger than them, their fate instead was determined by a God of whom they were in relationship with. It may have actually been the beginning of Jewish guilt. Our loss is my fault. But it allowed the Israelites to retain their identity and their belief in one God. While this articulation of God have worked for our ancestors and in antiquity, and even work for some now, for many modern and Reformed Jews, this theology falls short. Thankfully, our tradition gives us plenty of other ways to understand and connect with God. Throughout the Bible, and especially in our commentary, there are a plethora of beautiful descriptions of God. God can be compassionate. God can be a healer. God can even be very forgiving. Just as we can be compassionate in one situation and authoritative in another, so too can God meet the needs of the situation. In fact, we often talk about the 70 faces of God, recognizing that only one description is wholly inadequate. And in fact, I think we do ourselves and Judaism a disservice when we predominantly teach only one aspect. Here are other descriptions of God that we find in our sacred literature. We have God the Creator from Genesis 2 that delicately formed the first human being from the dust of the earth and blew life into Adam's nostrils. We have God the Guide that silently accompanies Jacob as he travels far from home after the death of his father. In the book of Numbers, we see God the Healer, who heals Miriam after Moses passionately cries out, El na rafa nala, please God, heal her. We can relate to God as the Shekhinah, the feminine aspect, the loving mother who protects her children. Or we can choose to relate to the God that we often see in the High Holiday Liturgy, one who wants to forgive us and holds the gate open as long as possible to allow us to come through. My favorite description of God and of God's relationship with us comes from the Kutzker Rebbe. He taught, where is God to be found? In the place where he is given entry. This was later rearticulated by Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel when he described God in search of man rather than man in search of God. God wants a relationship with us. God is waiting for us to open that door and let God through. Each of these descriptions speak of a God that wants to be in relationship with us, not one that wants to rule over us. For me, and for almost 80% of Reformed Jews, this vengeful and authoritative God is not the one that we relate to anymore. And while it may not be what most people think about when we say the God of the Bible, these descriptions are no less authentically Jewish. So back to the one who quietly and guiltily confides in me that they don't believe in God. Once the possibility of relating to God in an entirely different way is presented, the conversation often shifts to how we can find and or make room for God in our lives. So how do we choose to connect to God? As we near the high holiday season, we're often asked to re-examine our connection to ourselves, to others, and ultimately to God. Which one will you choose this year? Shabbat Shalom.